Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. This is a very special weekend in our country. We involve ourselves in varying degrees. I was, as we were out doing some resale shopping, we were going to my mother-in-law's to help do a yard makeover. Thank God for ibuprofen. And as I was driving by, I was impressed to see like Schwartz Funeral Home with all the flags out in front. That's very cool. And another building had the flags out in front. I remember as a kid, man, on the holidays, the flags went out. You know, and they took him in on non-holidays as a respect for the flag. It was a huge difference, and I missed that. You know, we pulled out our flag last night to put for Memorial Day weekend, but, you know, some people don't even think about it. Don't even have flag holders anymore. We involve ourselves in varying degrees. I heard on the radio the other day that Memorial Day weekend is the breakout of the barbecue season. Those people are way behind. You know, you get gas, you can do it all year long. But, you know, it's like this, bring it out. This is a turning point, a move into summer, you know, as it were. Memorial Day is a day to remember all the fighting men and women who gave time and maybe even life for our country, for our freedom. Thank you, Roy, for that reminder of all those things that have gone on. Our freedoms are not because of the various institutions, but for the veterans that served and fought for us. And for all of you who are veterans, thank you for your service, either past or present. It tells us, it reminds us that we're not alone in this world as we gather together. Loved ones not with us are not forgotten on this day. And I would hope that loved ones who are with us are remembered as well. But for many in our country, it's a three-day weekend made to party. And that's kind of sad. I think it's important, vital that we do remember, but if we do, to what degree? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this time together in this place, and for these people who are gathered together under your care. And Lord, now we ask for your teaching, for your heart to be present, and for your presence to be here felt with us. And we thank you, and we'll give you glory and praise now in Christ's name. Amen. Sometimes remembering works against us. Memories can rob us by getting us stuck in yesterday, and we can't get past that. We get caught in thoughts of things 10, 20, 30 years ago. Boom, let there be light. And it's troublesome to us. I know there are things in my past that plague me, and that Satan wants to use to stir up and to just bring me down and feel bad about myself. And sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes I have to remind myself who I am, not because of who I am, but because of who I am in Christ. That because of those, my heart given to Him, that those things are forgiven. And I don't have to constantly beat myself up over it. They can rob us of today if we're not careful, if we're stuck in the past and things that we hold on grudges on. Sir Thomas More said this, "The world does not need so much to be informed as to be reminded." So the Bible says again and again, forget not, and to remember, and to remember. Because it's in that remembering that we are encouraged. The time of communion is a time to be encouraged of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for us. And we don't do it as a religious thing. We do it as a remembrance so that we can not forget and draw strength each and every week, reminding ourselves of who we are and to the life that Christ has called us to. King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:9 that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. And as I wrote that this week from Ecclesiastes and watching the commercials, it's true. How many times can you redo Superman? With all these different Supermans, how many times can you redo Batman? It's been done. Move on. But the world recycles and recycles because there's nothing new under the sun. The same things that the Bible encourages us to be careful of today was being warned back 2,000 years ago when the New Testament was written, and 4,000 or 5,000 years ago in the Old. It doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun. The same warnings or the same admonishments are there today as they were back then. This is not an ancient book. It's just something that's so true that it never goes out of date. We are encouraged to grow and learn from our past. Take your Bibles and turn to the 77th Psalm. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, there are chair Bibles around in front of you, and you can turn to page 425 in the New Testament, in the first part of the book. That's the Old Testament, by the way. Now, it's new to some of us, but never mind. One cup of coffee doesn't do it for me sometimes. This is one of those days. I got to remember to take two cups of coffee. Psalm 77. Look at verse 11 of this. He says this, "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old." Good words. I'll remember the deeds of old. If you put your life in perspective, there are so many things that God has done. But the busyness of life causes you sometimes to forget those things. I've thought about writing them down in decades, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2000. Wow, that's a lot of decades. But, you know, I thought about I should write it down now because I'm going to forget, you know. And one day my grandkids may ask me and I'll go, "Here, read this. This is what it is. Remember the things of old because God has done so many amazing things, but there's always the next thing that goes on." Why should remember? Isn't the past just the past? Isn't it old news? I don't think so. Remembering helps us to see how faithful God is. God is faithful. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I love that this year at Home Plate, which is the Tigers evangelistic outreach, and Matt Tuyasosopo, he did that with the crowd. You know, I thought, I like this guy. He's big. You know, I would want him standing behind, no, in front of me. But he did that with the crowd. It's so cool that he did that. And people responded, you know, too, that knew what was going on. All the time, God is good. He is faithful with difficulties in the past. Anybody here have difficulties in the past? Not just me? Oh, good. Thank you. I feel so much better now. Because you know what? Satan wants you to think you're the only person with difficulties. If it wasn't for you, the rest of the world would be fine. No, we're a collective mess in this world. We all have difficulties. We all have challenges. Thank you. It's so good to have you back from Florida. You know, now Bill's got someone to kind of feed off from a little bit. Don't get me started, right? That's the problem. Don't get me started. If you read the entire 77th Psalm, and I do encourage you to do that, you read about God's faithfulness to his people during the Exodus of Egypt. Remember that, you know, Charlton Heston thing, you know, beard, white hair, stuff, the whole thing, parting of the Red Sea. And special emphasis, by Kale, special emphasis, see, I can get back on task, special emphasis on the parting of the Red Sea. That was huge, because it was huge. When difficulties come, we need something to draw strength on. We have to draw from the past, because God got us through that. We are not just stuck in our difficulties. God says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." He may not remove us, but he'll take us through that difficulty. Challenges and problems that God brings in our lives are not, he's not designed us to be removed from, but to take through so we grow stronger. You know, when you hit difficulties, "God, give me the wisdom to understand this because I don't want to go through it again. I don't want to go through it again." And remember those times because they are important in our lives. They're important for the present troubles that we have. Anybody not have present troubles in any degree? So I can get next to you? Okay. We all do, right? You're just tired of raising your hand. I know that, but I know. But we all have present troubles in some degree or another. Maybe right now you're on a mountaintop experience. Praise God for that because things are going great. Enjoy the view. But most of the time is spent in the valley. Enjoy the lesson, because it's a journey. It's an excursion. Our life in Christ is a process from from justification through sanctification to glorification when we go home. And that sanctification process is not fun sometimes. And anyone that just has a smile on their face saying things are great all the time, I would be concerned about, because the Bible doesn't talk about that. It says when you experience trials, not if you experience trials. And it says, why are you perplexed at experiencing these things? Because we have an enemy against us. Subtle and sneaky, diabolical. Almost didn't get that word. The devil. Remembering that God helped his people also gives strength for the future. We are to be strengthened for the future because trials are ahead of us. And we're not to want to avoid those trials, but know that God, remember that God has taken us through those things. Our country, sadly, has forgotten a lot of those things. Forgotten. Why? Because the focus is on me. What I can get, what I can do, the focus is on whatever I can get ahead on. It's not the collective nation anymore. We're a nation of individuals. Don't get in my way. You're just another step, another clog, another stone to get what I want to get. I can't go there. Sorry. The mind almost took me someplace that I knew not. I don't want to go. Go to Psalm 77. Look at verse 7. Let's go back before and to see what was written prior to that. And the psalmist wrote this, will the Lord reject forever? Now, this person's not in a good state, okay? You're going to get this really quickly. Will the Lord reject forever? How many of you feel rejected? I do at times. I feel like it's, and sometimes it's justified, but a lot of times you feel like, I'm a good guy. I'm okay. You know, but you feel down. And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Selah. Selah is a very important word in the Psalms. It is the impression and the emphasis is this, stop and think. It's a pregnant pause. Stop and think. Oh man, bad. Has God just abandoned me? Has he left me? Is he nowhere around? Is this it? Have I enjoyed all the favor I'm going to get, and now I've got to live through drudgery? And he says, then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. It is in my circumstances, in my desperation, that I feel God's left. But you know what? He hasn't left. Because his word also says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I love the Chronicles of Narnia. You know, read the books as a in my 20s, you know, and the movies now with special effects are so amazing. But I love in one, I think it's one of the first books, when Lucy's walking along and then she feels and senses the breath of Aslan. Can't see him, but senses his presence there, you know. It's that knowing that God will never leave us nor forsake us that helps us get us through those times, in those challenging times. But in our grief, we think, God, oh, where are you? He goes, I'm right here. I love the footprints in the sand. You read those before? You know, why am I most, the two pairs of footprints walk along the sand and different things and going along in life, and all of a sudden there's one pair. Why did you, in my deepest, darkest time, why did you leave me? Why did you leave me alone? He says, oh, no. It's in those times that I carried you. We get it backwards. Our grief sometimes robs us of the memory that God is always there. God has not changed, but because of our situation, we have. We've taken our focus off. Pastor Roland loves to talk about Peter and getting out of the boat and walking on the water. What? When he had his eyes on Jesus, man, he was doing good. And then he saw the waves, and then he saw and began to sink on down. And it's like, you know, I always think that Jesus had a little bit of Jethro Gibbs in him from NCIS. You know, like, boom. You know, Peter, come on. Takes his hand, get him out of the water. When we take our eyes off from Christ, we begin to sink in our situation. And the storm was still there when Peter began walking. It's when he took his eyes off Christ, when he forgot. Started having troubles. Remembering also helps us to rely upon God. I love Josh. Well, of course I love Josh. But he said to me, do you know what frog means? Yeah, he loves. I don't know why yet, but at age 59, he still thinks he's going to get something that I'm just going to have no clue on. He loves to do that, you know. And sometimes it's his own language he makes up and stuff, which doesn't help. But this one, he goes, "So, do you know what frog means?" "Yes." "Fully relying on God." Oh, nailed him again. Made me feel good. Not that I want my son to be torn down, but I'm just not ready to give up all knowledge yet to our 13-year-old. We have to remember that we can rely upon God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." All our ways. You know what the problem is? We want to, "Oh God, let me have this way." I did that with marriage, not successfully. "Oh, please bless her. This is." I finally gave up and God gave me the woman of my dreams. Never dreamed I'd be married to Luann. She never dreamed that either. That nightmare has been true for 20 years now. But I relied upon God. My goal was at that time after the second divorce to just be a good father. I'd done okay. He's not responding yet. Okay, good. I lost that one. I did so-so in raising James. But now my goal is to be a good grandpa. And that's it. You know, grandparents is the parents' revenge, you know, on your kids. Remember, I'm sorry. Next time you say, "Did you have two cups of coffee today?" Next week, ask me that question. Remembering also helps us to come alongside others. And that's what life is about. Life is not about isolation, where we just gain what we can gain and we leave everybody else in the wake. But it's coming alongside others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." Paul was trying to write this encouragement to the church in Thessalonica that build up one another, just like you're doing, keep doing it, because there's never an end to that. Husbands, love your wives. When do we get to stop loving our wives? Never. Why? Because Christ never stops loving us. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, and he never stops. There's nothing that Christ commands us to do that we have a finishing point. It's an ongoing process, and we need to come alongside of others. We may get messed up in the process. We may get cheated in the process, but we know that our hearts and our minds are clear and clean. Our consciences are clean, regardless of how they respond and react to us. We've had some people pull the wool over our eyes. We've had some people do some things that are evil. But God says, "I will repay too." And sometimes we see the consequences of those actions, and maybe not even our own hand. Well, we can't be concerned about that. We have to keep our hearts pliable, because God will also bring people who truly are needy, and we don't want to be skeptical about that as well. It's hard, though. Hard. Years ago, back when performing with the Diamonds, we were in Florida. I might have told this story before, but we were down in Delray Beach, Florida. It was really nice in Florida in the wintertime, as Stewarts know. And but anyway, we had done our performances that night, and I went to the Denny's to get a late night meal. And I'm walking back to the rental car, and a guy come up, you know, and said, "Hey, you know, I run out of gas about two blocks away." I said, "Just need like $5 to kind of help me get me out." And I said, "Could you help out?" I said, "Yeah, I can give you $5. You know, there's $5." Guy left. Two nights later, all four of the Diamonds are going to have a late night dinner at Denny's. Same guy approaches the car of four guys. Say, "Hey, I ran out of gas about two blocks away. So can you meet me like $5? Just get some gas to..." Now, if I were a wise person, I would have gone like this and let the older guys be generous. But no. My response was, "Hey, I gave you $5 two nights ago." To which the guy just ran away. And the other three guys didn't let me live that down for the next 4 years. But I did what I thought was right in my heart in helping them out. Do we get taken? Yeah. But we rely upon God for the consequences of that, not ourselves. The Greek word of encourage is parakaleo, which means to comfort, to strengthen, to encourage by consolation. The idea is the word's also a paraclete, one that actually comes sides, wraps the arm around, and goes through whatever difficulty it is together. God calls us to gather in together to help people through difficult situations. We may not have even gone through the situation, but we can still comfort, we can still encourage, we can still be there for the people that are going through challenges. But in order for this verse to be real in the church, we also must allow others to come alongside us. The world has a huge pride issue, and the pride issue is in the church as well. No, I'm okay. You know, no. They need more help than I do. You know, better to give than to receive. But you know what? There has to be someone to receive in order for someone to give. And a lot of times we will deny people of the gift of giving if we step back and don't let God help meet the need. That's pride. And pride does not have a place. We need humility to thank someone for the heart that may be there to give to help out in a particular situation. That's not taking advantage of people. It's allowing the body of Christ to work. And I really believe this church does a good job of that. Even though we're small, we're a little Macedonia, you know, we've been able to help a lot of people in a lot of situations within this church. I don't know of any need that has happened that we've not helped to help meet that need. We can't help the whole county of Genesee. But, you know, God does unique things within the body to help one another and still provides for us. Living out this verse helps us to keep in fellowship and keep out of isolation. The enemy wants you to be isolated. He doesn't want you to remember. He doesn't want you to memorialize all the things that have gone on that God has helped you. He wants you to forget so that you just, man, I got to keep myself away from people because I'm just going to bring people down. Rather than involving yourself in and let people build you up and encourage you, just like Scripture says to do. It is Satan that desires to. You know what? It used to be that Satan would go after the little sheep or at the end, but now he goes for the shepherd. He goes for the head sheep to try and destroy and trying to isolate them out. We can easily forget that we're not alone even when there is no one physically around us. But that's not true. Listen to Jesus' words just before he was betrayed in John 16, verse 32, said this, "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." Just as a father was with his son, Christ is with the church as well. Second point, remembering encourages us to share our faith. We studied 1 Peter recently, and we've in our this series of Apology Accepted, this is one of our key verses, 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." We are to share our faith, but it is with a condition. Do with gentleness and reverence. Don't beat someone up. You know, we're not called to slay people in the process, but live the life that God's called us to so they might see Christ in us, because it's not about us. It's about Christ in us that people need to see. Remembering encourages us to be refreshed. Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." New Living Translation. Sharing our faith also refreshes us too. Reminds us. Every time you share your faith in Christ with somebody, it reminds you of the faith that you have and why you have it. We need these remembrances. We need these memorials in our lives, not just as a country, but as individuals, so that we can live the life that Christ has called us to live. Some closing thoughts. Memories are vital to our country. We must remember that those before us who fought so hard to gain its freedom deserve honor. Sadly, those who remember a time when the country rallied around its soldiers in World War II are fading away and dying out. And soon the only memories we will have will be voiced by the history books. Memories are a vital part to a powerful life in Christ as well. The memories of our sinful past, although painful, help us to appreciate even more the life-saving gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ. God doesn't call us to forget our past, but to know that it's been forgiven. And that's part of the testimony. When we come to Christ, we are told we are a new creature, a new creation. But we will still make mistakes. And there are consequences for our actions, and we are not always given relief. God wants us to remember his faithfulness, confess, and to be restored to a right relationship with him. God doesn't want our difficulties to keep us locked up and ineffective, but he wants us to trust him for what lies around the corner, around the bend, and remember that he's taken us through so much more before this and what we face now. I saw a cute story. Frederick II was an 18th century king of Prussia, and he was touring one of the prisons in Berlin. And while he was walking around touring the prison, a lot of the prisoners were like pleading and yelling and declaring their innocence and just, you know, how unjust it was that they're in this prison. And he notices this solitary figure off to the side saying nothing. And he says, "What's your crime?" He says, "Armed robbery, Your Majesty." He said, "Are you guilty?" "Oh, yes. I did it, and I deserve my punishment." And the king says, "Jailer, release this man at once. I do not want this guilty person to infest all the other innocent people in this jail." And he was let go. You know, it's not the problem of making the mistake. The problem is not learning from it, or acknowledging it, or accepting responsibility for it. "I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old." But to what degree will you remember? To what degree does our country remember those who fought in so many wars for the great freedoms that we have? Things of this nation, but also things of faith as well. Will you remember only when things are good, which may not be that often or that abundant? Or will you choose to remember the deeds of the Lord, the wonders of old that continue to be built on even to this day and beyond? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us a time to remember not only our country and the veterans that have fought for this country, but Father, for you and your place in this country as well. And although this current generation would rather see your name erased, Father, for those of us who put their faith in you, we know the hand was upon this country because of your strengthening and guidance. Father, that's also the same way in our lives. Would you help us in this day to not remember just on this weekend, but each and every day, and to appreciate all that you do, all that you're doing, and all that you desire to do, as we desire to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Every soul we long to lead, every heart we hope to treat, everywhere we share his peace is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone,
grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
remember to go in your power. And all God's people said, amen. And if you don't have any plans for the summer, sign up for summer camp. There's $20 off if you sign up by today. Have a great week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.